Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Getting started right now, damn it. All right. Oh, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cos podcast. Usually there's like a 3-2-1, but I'm fired up, Bob. I'm fired up for the pod today.
Maddie, it's great to see you. There's a term when you study English lit. It's called in medias res. It's Latin, and it means in the middle of things. It's when a story starts in the middle of the action.
That's right.
So, dear pod listener, we are in medias res. Matt, what is the action that they have jumped into?
Yeah, one of my fights with my friends that I shouldn't get angry about, like literally, but I do. Yesterday was Friday the 13th, and we were talking about Jason versus Freddy, and my friend just likes to needle me because I'm a Voorhees guy, and he's like, "Yeah, well, Freddy won." I'm like, "No, asshole! At the end of that movie, Jason Voorhees is holding Freddy's head. Does Freddy give a little wink? Yeah." But I think Harold Lederman or any boxing judge, if you were ruling who won the fight, the guy holding the fucking head won the fight. Get out of here with Freddie winning.
So I hang out with you and your friends sometimes. Yeah. We like each other, me and your friend group. It's partially because I love horror movies and partially because I love to eat.
That's true.
And so we all went to see the premiere of Freddy versus Jason. And I've never seen grown men act like such kids before in my entire life. The best part was when Freddie had Jason down and one of your friends jumped to his feet and yelled, "Get up!"
Yep. I remember that.
Oh, that was the best. Glorious. By the way, Matt, Freddie won.
No, he didn't.
He winked.
Oh, so, okay, Bob, I give you two options in life. Option one, the ability to wink, but don't have a body. Option two, wandering back to your lair, holding a head. Who won?
Okay, so Matt, we've talked about this before. Jason is NFL football. All brute force and indomitable will. Mm-hmm. Whereas Freddie is European soccer. Clever, cheeky set pieces.
Uh-huh. Well, Bob, I can see the CN Tower. We're in North America. We're close to America, Bob. If you want your socialist soccer, then you can just traipse across the pond where you can quote your Latin like you did off the top of this with your racist mania or racist or whatever the hell, continuous, whatever that was. But we're here in America and Canada. In fact, I'm watching the BC Lions Hamilton Tiger Cats game right now. This is football country.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then we can either start with football or something that no one can decide if it was a win or not. Which way do you want to go?
Actually, I think we should go to the Blue Jays.
That's no one can decide if it was a win because the fans feel like we got ripped off. But Mark Shapiro thankfully told us, no, you didn't. It was a good year.
I will say this about Mark Shapiro. He's really good at press conferences. Answers right away, no us, facts and numbers. And he did two sneaky things, Bob. Sneaky thing number one, he when asked, was it a mistake to pull Barrios? He's like, no, it wasn't a mistake, but then quickly danced away from that to talk about how the problem was they couldn't score runs. He's like, well, you tell me, we only give up two runs, then our run prevention plan worked. It's like, yes, you only did give up two runs. That doesn't change the fact you chose not to trust one of your better pitchers.
It was an unwinnable situation for him. And it reminded me a little bit of Henry Kissinger, who once stood up in front of a room full of reporters and said, okay, now who has the questions for my answers?
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. He was very clever. Let's go through a quick checklist here. Because there was a bit of a gap between when Atkins spoke and when Shapiro spoke. So people speculated, not likely, but speculated maybe they were considering a change at the GM position. And it didn't happen. So how do you feel about Ross Atkins staying? And do you agree with the fact that over the last 8 years, they've had a lot of success. They've made the playoffs three times out of the last 4 years in quite a tough division. So do you agree that he's done enough to earn another shot at it?
I'm fine with it. Yes, if you look at the totality of what they've done, there's more good than bad. The problem is, Moreno is leading the Diamondbacks in RBIs and home runs, and Dalton Varsho had a bad year offensively. So, you know, he certainly after all these years, Atkins hasn't exactly stuck the landing. But overall, he's been good enough to keep his job.
Yeah, the Moreno deal kind of feels like the Kadri deal, but for the Jays.
Oh, good call. Good call.
You know, the problem here is that we're kind of in the middle and we don't know how to look at things. See, if you're a sports fan and things are going great, well, then you just ride it as hard as you can. Like we did this with the Raptors a couple of years ago. It was great. And then sometimes things just suck and you know they suck, but they have a chance to get better. But when they're stuck in the middle, this is like when you're at work. I always say people don't mind working hard. What they don't like is not knowing what they're supposed to do. If you know what you're supposed to do and you're a halfway decent worker, you're going to get along fine with everybody. Confusion is the enemy. And I think the average Jays fan is confused because on one hand, they have been pretty good. They've been a top 10 team over the last 5 years. They're certainly better than most of the teams in MLB.
Yep.
But they're not really good. So who are they?
Yeah, the real problem is that all the hitters except for Bichette took a step back, and Vlad, yeah, for the second year in a row, has seen his numbers go down and down. And no one says he's got to be 2021 every year. But when you've had 2 years of a downward trend and he just looked meek at so many of those plate appearances, I think that's the big thing that people are scared of. And also, Bob, the one other thought, this feels like a wasted year. Four pitchers had at least 31 starts and you win fewer games than you did last year and you get knocked out again in two games. Like that's what hurts.
It reminds me a little bit of when the Leafs were in the Northern Division and they lost to Montreal.
Yes.
Where you think to yourself, okay, there is a path here that is uncommonly clear in a competitive sports environment. And then you shit the bed and you think at the end of it, well, one, there was the loss, but two, this should have gone better than it did. I mean, you pulled up the Twins. They had a better record than the Twins. The Twins weren't especially great. They had outstanding pitching. And in theory, it's almost like when the Leafs, when they get good defense and you think, well, they've got so much scoring. If they can just get defense and goaltending, oh my God, they'll be unstoppable. And then they go on a goal drought.
I know.
It's like, no. We solved one problem. Why did we adopt a different one?
By the way, kudos to you, Bob. The Kadri, Dalton Varsho, and this year's Blue Jays to the COVID North Division Maple Leafs. You're on fire. Two very, very good analogies.
Well, you know, I didn't sleep last night, which means that I'm either like hallucinating the right answers or this is like the last minute of the 12th round before I just go down for the day.
Can I give a shameful admission about sleep?
Yeah, sure.
I'm on my own last night. It is mm-hmm. Friday the 13th.
Oh, no.
I may have locked my door to my bedroom.
Did you really?
I did.
I thought you were going to say lights on.
No, just I'm 48-year-old man, and I'm like, you know what? Just better safe than sorry. I better lock my door.
What I really love about this is your cottage is it's on an island, mm-hmm. and there's a little wooded area between the two cottages on either side of the island.
Yep.
And you're still scared to walk from one side of the island to the other at night.
Yes.
It's an island.
I know. It's stupid.
Who's going to swim out there to kill you?
No one. I'm not killable. I mean, I don't have there's a certain narcissism if someone goes, everyone's out to get me. No, you're not that special. it's true. Like if you just look at the statistics, like I'll wander through any area of Toronto. I never have any fear of the big city, but you get me in the country and suddenly I'm like, uh-oh, it's so dumb. And I'm closing the cottage. I'm going up there on Monday. I'm going to have a day by myself and a night by myself. And it's stupid. I'm still going to get the heebie-jeebies.
You're supposed to. You know where the word panic comes from? Now, we went from Latin to Greek this time.
Let's do it.
the word panic actually comes from the god Pan. And it describes the feeling that you get when you're in the forest and you feel like you're being watched.
Oh. God,
so literally, you will be experiencing panic.
I will. Oh, yeah. There'll be definite moments, but it's the saddest version of panic. Oh, no, I'm on an island in Muskoka. I'm in trouble. It's so lame. by the way.
That is definitely a first world problem, isn't it? Oh my God, I think I'm imperiled on my luxury cottage island.
It's literally the definition of a first world problem. And I'm debating what old bottle of Bordeaux to finish the island with.
You know what? Think about that, because when we get to the Leafs later, you're going to have a wine pairing with the Minnesota game to go with my food pairing.
Okay. Okay. Wine pairing.
But we'll get to that later. Yeah. You know what I'm realizing listening to this? Sorry to interrupt you, but like, so through the whole year, so there was the Anthony Bass fiasco, and, you know, there was
Manoa.
It was a season of ups and downs. Yeah, Manoa. But, you know, there was good too. But here's what I realized at the end of it. Everyone just would have been happier if Vlad was good. We're really talking about when we say the Jays is the Jays are a stand-in for Vlad. We just don't know what to think of him. That's 80% of the problem right there.
Oh, absolutely. I know it seems simplistic, but it's true. We got a taste of elite, taste of a guy who could win an MVP, and then it's been taken away from us. And it's all just about expectation management. You're right. No single player on the Blue Jays have I talked about more this year than Vlad, and it's not even close.
When you think about Austin Matthews and how after his Hart Trophy year, he has a drop off in goal production. People were saying, do you think he'll get 60 again? Do you think he could push towards, like, it was just this nutso conversation. I remember saying to some people at the time, he'll be lucky if he gets 50 because the NHL is hard. And he didn't. He got hurt. And we all sort of understand that. But we're all watching him really closely this year, too, because if he goes out and scores another 40 goals, we'll be mad. And it'll be one of the few times where you can get really mad at a guy who scores 40 goals.
It's a very odd place to be if you're Austin Matthews. By the way, shout out to Steve Simmons, who after that 6-5 win and Austin Matthews had a hat trick, Steve basically said, so Austin, you didn't really play that well, but you had a hat trick. That's got to feel good. Like, the man gets a hat trick, and Simmons is the only one with the guts to go, you weren't that great tonight.
Well, maybe rather than they would have been better. I just looked at it, and I just, you know how, you know this experience. You had Ron Dane with the Giants. Ugh. Every once in a while, you look at a team, and you just develop an irrational hatred of a player.
Yep.
And usually they're okay.
Yeah.
You know, they usually don't suck, because if you suck, you don't stick around very long. But they're usually okay, but you just look at them and they bug you. John Klingberg is going to be that guy for me this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, we could see it coming. Like, Klingberg is he feels like the Jake Gardner, like he, the Dion Phaneuf, Larry Murphy. It's like these ghosts from the past are going to just give unto you, John Klingberg, the mantle of high decibel level booing.
I'm thinking, so we had Jake's mistakes. What would be the Klingberg version? Would it be like Kling's flings, Kling swings? We need to come up with something.
JK, God, Klingberg is a tough one. That's a tough putt for radio that loves to do alliterations, and we all love to rhyme.
That is a tough putt. That feels like a three putt, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, Bob, there's one other Mark Shapiro thing
that I have to
tip the cap for. One other sneaky thing. Early in that press conference, he said, I remember I was talking to Don Mattingly, and Mattingly was wondering, why is everyone so upset? This, of course, is the right call in terms of pulling Barrios. So think of what Shapiro did. He used Don Mattingly as a meat shield, because it's like, look, that's old school Don Mattingly. This is a guy all about his gut and trust in the eyes. Don Mattingly spits at analytics, and even old man Mattingly liked the call to pull Barrios.
Yeah, but Mattingly's a stealth rebel. Don't forget him and Steinbrenner in the sideburns.
Exactly. Sneaky, sneaky Shapiro.
Yeah, that is so good. So here's my final verdict on the Jays. It was disappointing, but with a small D, not a capital D. You know, the payroll will be high again. They'll have a good team again, but there's a lot of turnover, so it could go south real fast. It's a little early to say that they've missed their window to win, but they've got to look better soon. Honestly, I've been making this comparison to the Leafs, but it's shocking to me how many comparisons there are to make where you go, okay, they're good. The team has good players. In fact, they've got star players, but they better start winning.
Yep. They have become the Maple Leafs. The only thing that's saving the Blue Jays is all the good teams. The top five teams in baseball had one win in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's the craziest year. Like, playoffs are weird, and this is the thing. It's a tournament. It's just a tournament. If you had to, like March Madness, how many times do the top four teams make it to the end? Sometimes. Yeah. And usually one or two of them make it pretty far, but there's always surprises and upsets because it is a tournament. The only league that really defines who the winner is in a fair way is EPL, because they play a whole season and the team that has the most points wins. Mm-hmm. So you have adjustment for variance, you know, players get hurt, but they come back. It's just, it's the clearest indication of who the best team was.
I need to say, when you said adjusting for variance, I thought you were dropping the name of a soccer player and it was Justin Verdeirance. And I'm like, you've done Greek, you've done Latin. Now are you doing some obscure midfielder from Everton? Like, that's what I thought you were going for a second.
All right, Maddie, let's tee up some football here, shall we?
Yeah.
Since we're in North America, apparently, that's what we do in North America. All right, so five questions for Matt. It's the Bills and the Giants this weekend.
It's
your team versus my team. I'll give you one question for your team and one question for my team, okay?
All right.
Given the division you're in, are you already cheering for losses at this point in the season?
Oh, absolutely. It's not even about division. It's about, like, my team isn't good. They weren't good last year. They were just the Minnesota Vikings, but they won a playoff game against the Minnesota Vikings. It was all close wins. I never thought they were good last year. You know, I don't think Daniel Jones is great. So, yes, absolutely wishing for losses. And by the way, Bob, spoiler alert, the Bills will win tomorrow.
Tyrod Taylor might have some kind of Hollywood movie in him, but we'll see.
He'll have backdoor.
My team then. So two options, two different ways of looking at this Bills team. One, they should be at least 4-1, but for two weird games, or something is off here.
No, it's door number one. This is a really good team. What they did against Miami, I mean, they handled the Dolphins. Buffalo has had, you know, their victories have been far more impressive. And you're right, the Jets loss was a weird one. The Jacksonville, the London game, you know, whatever. To me, my bigger concern about Buffalo is not the two losses in the standings. It's the two losses on defense, Tre'Davious White at corner and Milano at linebacker. You've now lost two of your best three or four defenders. That for me is the bigger concern of Buffalo.
I think you're absolutely right in your analysis, Maddie. The five games that we've seen, they should have been 4-1. They could have been 5-0.
Yeah.
And all the guys you want to see playing well are playing pretty well. So there was just, I don't know, it was just weird. Sometimes like the London game in general is weird, unless you're Jacksonville.
Yeah.
You know, which is like their backyard for some strange reason. Because we always think Jacksonville, London. Oh, there's two cities that go together.
When I'm on the tram, in London, I can't help but think
of, you're getting your crisps.
when I'm getting my crisps, I can't help but think of Central Florida. It's one of the
Oh yes, the sister city, Jacksonville. The Matt Milano one hurts. You know, I hope it's not as impactful as the Von Miller was last year, but you know, when you're talking about the elite teams, it's hard to have a key player go down and still win. You know, they're going to be good. They're going to make the playoffs. They've got so many great players, but you know, the Von Miller one really killed him. And especially because Von Miller was brought in to be the home stopper. And you could see without him there, that pass rush just wasn't the same. And it happens the way it always seems to happen. Yeah. Yeah. Tre'Davious White, they've figured out how to play without him, but he's still so good that, you know, he obviously makes you better. Yeah, it's an issue. Okay, so a couple more questions here. I want you to rank them, Matt.
Yep.
Three teams that I'm not sure if they're good or not. You ready?
Yep.
Bucks, Rams, Saints.
Okay, so with Tampa, the one concern is how much is their record because they've done so well on turnover ratio. I think Tampa is pretty good. This is a team that had a lot of Pro Bowl players, but Brady went out. And then everyone's like, oh, Tampa's bad. I'm like, well, they got good receivers, good linebackers, a couple good defensive linemen, one of the best left tackles, and a very good center. So I think Tampa is a 8-9, 9-8 team, which is far better than I expected. I think the Rams will eventually fall. They're a nice story because of their young wide receivers. And I think the Saints will eventually fall. In fact, I like Tampa the most, then New Orleans, and then the Rams. That's my order. New Orleans defense looks is great, but statistically, your defense always looks better after a week of playing Mac Jones and the Patriots.
All right, here's a tougher one. This is the AFC version of the same question. Steelers, Chargers, Browns.
The Steelers aren't good at all, but they'll find a way to be 9-8 because that's what Tomlin does. And the Ravens drop 3 touchdown passes. And we're talking about Kenny Pickett with the it factor when the real problem was the Ravens receivers and the shit factor. Ooh, look at that for analysis. The Chargers will just find a way to, oh God, everyone hates the Chargers.
They're like the anti-Steelers. One team finds a way to win and the other one finds a way to lose.
Yes. And the Chargers have a great passing game and this flashy quarterback. And we think they should be better than what they are. And then, wait, who's the third team again?
It was the Browns.
There's something about Deshaun Watson that just, it feels wrong. And not just from a morality standpoint, though we could do that one. Also, just from a football standpoint as well. Damn, they got a good defense. But they lost Nick Chubb. I don't trust the quarterback. I don't think any of those teams are good, to be honest with you.
Okay, so rank them.
I hate this. You know what? No, fuck it. Steelers are number one because they will be. No, they can't be. Oh, this is tough. Chargers, Steelers, Browns.
Ugh. Wow, you almost exploded. You look like a tomato in the microwave.
I know. Ugh, that's a tough question.
So Leafs coming up.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a moral conundrum. First, I want to throw this out to you, and I want to do one of your favorite things, Matt, which is a cross sports analogy.
Oh, I love it.
But it's actually the opposites. It's like opposites. So this year in the NBA and in the NHL, we've got two generational talents coming in. Victor Wembanyama looked amazing against the Heat, and Connor Bedard so far has looked really, really good. For a kid his age, amazing. And I started thinking about how it's funny that Victor Wembanyama.
Yep.
It's a little early. I'm just going with the Wemby. Landed at the perfect spot.
Yep.
He's with Popovich. They've developed his kind of talent before. It's like the universe just said, NBA, here's a generational player, and we're going to put him in the right place. Conversely, Connor Bedard, after all of that shitstorm with Chicago last year, and the Kyle Beach affair, somehow get the first pick and wind up with the next Sid Crosby or better. So one league has the perfect guy land on the perfect team, and the other league has the perfect guy land on exactly the wrong team. Here's the question I'm getting to you. Do you feel weird? Like, is it hard for you to cheer for Connor Bedard knowing that his success goes to the worst franchise in the NHL?
The honest answer is it should, but it doesn't. The honest answer is it was cool seeing Bedard taking his first ever moment in the NHL with a face-off against Crosby and then getting a goal against Boston. And when you hear him talk, he sounds much more mature. Like, Connor Bedard is a convenient... Okay, let's stick with Friday the 13th. Connor Bedard, or just the horror movie theme, Connor Bedard is a convenient exorcism for all things wrong with what the Blackhawks have done, because his presence can wipe out all those bad demons.
Well, not all of them, because the family that owns the team still owns the team.
Oh, I know. No, it's not. It, morally, it's tough, just like it's tough if you're a Browns fan rooting for Deshaun Watson. But
what it's like, Matt? Yeah. It's like if Wembanyama, like if the Donald Sterling affair, in the NBA, it happened this year, mm-hmm. and Wembanyama went to the Clippers, and you had to cheer for them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, you know, I found myself resenting the position I was put in as a fan. I'm watching ESPN, it's opening night, Connor Bedard, I'm excited. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what, fuck these guys, right? Like, why am I giving them my time? But they've also got the most exciting young player in the game in a while, you know, probably since Matthews came in.
Oh, yeah.
And I just find myself in a conundrum that I don't want to be in at the end of a long day. I had a long day. I had 2 hours of commuting. I'm living in Vaughan. You know, what am I having for dinner? I'm having power bars for dinner because everybody's busy. I sit down. to watch the game and all of a sudden I have a moral conundrum. How dare you do this to me, NHL? I just want dingers.
Yeah, Bob, that's sports. We have too much information, which is a good thing, but it's sports. It really sharpens your ability to be pragmatic and to compartmentalize for the better and often for the worse.
All right, Maddie, so let's talk about the Leafs because, you know, despite what Steve Simmons said, I actually thought that it was a fun game. You know, we talked about this last week. It was just a really fun game.
It was. It was a I said before, it's a glorious, sloppy game. But you know what? I bet there's a lot of maniac head coaches in the NHL where if option one was a 6-5 sloppy win against an inferior team, and Montreal is inferior, or option two, a 1-0 loss against Colorado. Which one do you think Sheldon Keefe would have preferred? 6-5 shootout win against Montreal or a 1-0 well defensively played loss to Colorado?
On the surface or deep down, how do I answer your question?
Deep down.
Door number two.
I know, exactly.
Because we lost playing the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, I want to throw a food question out to you because you've got the Leafs in Minnesota coming up. And I thought to myself, it's two cold weather teams and you and I were always going to do pairings,
mm-hmm.
wine and food pairings for different sporting events. So, okay, two cold weather teams. What's a good cold weather wine, Matt?
I'm going to go you a step better. And I thought about this for a couple minutes. So it's not off the top of my head. I thought about this about 3 minutes ago. A cold weather wine from a hot area, but also Minnesota has been, you know, they've had some good years. They've had some good players. So I wanted to pick a under the radar wine you don't think of. From Croatia, nice hot place. They got this big red wine called Plavac Mali. That's the name of the grape. So that is my wine to pair with a Leafs Minnesota Wild game, you know, on a cold night because it's big, full-bodied tannic wine. It'll warm the cockles of your heart. And it's also a grape you don't know much about, just like we don't know much about the Minnesota Wild.
All right. I'm going to go with a food that's perfect for sweater. It's not as fun in the summer, even though it's still delicious, but it's a big bowl of hot, delicious pho. And from a specific spot. So like pho is amazing. And particularly for this time of year, because it's robust, it's savory. It's got, you know, threaded through it are flavors of like cinnamon, star anise, cardamom. So it's like got this heavy meat component to it if you get it with the beef, and yet it's got a sweet undertone. And then at the end of it, you're not stuffed because it's soup, but you're really full because it's a hearty flavor. And this brings me to a conundrum, Matt.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to understand this one. So you've maybe heard me talk about pho on the show before in a place called Golden Turtle.
Yes.
A place that's very close to my heart. It's on Ossington. There was a point there where I was eating there probably 3-4 times a week. When George is in town, we take most of our business meetings at Golden Turtle. We've gotten to know them. We really like them. They gave us hats and shirts. I DJed a night in Ottawa as DJ Golden Turtle wearing all of their get-ups. So here's, and it's on Ossington. And so I'm walking by Ossington the other day with Sandra, and we're like, let's get a bowl of soup. And we're on our way up to Golden Turtle, but there's another spot called Pho Tien Tan, which is closer to Queen Street. And I said to Sandra, oh, let's just, you know what? And it was Tuesday, and it was closed. Golden Turtle was closed on Tuesdays. I said, well, you know, I still feel like pho, so why don't we just pop in here? And Matt, it was great. It was delicious. And I have to admit, I kind of like it better. So now I'm in this really tough spot. I've got this local neighborhood place. The owners are great. I love them. They've been really good to us over the years. And their direct competition about 20 stores down, I like their soup better. Am I cheating?
Yes.
Golden Turtle if I eat at this other place?
Yep. You are cheating. You cannot go there again. You have to go back to Golden Turtle. It's part of sacrifice. Okay. Part of this. And the thing is, I think karmically, you'll enjoy the Golden Turtle more. Now, there's one little way you can slip around this is that coincidentally, you feel like pho on the days where Golden Turtle is closed, and then you had no choice. You had to go to the other place. You weren't trying to cheat, but be careful, Bob. This is food karma.
Matt, I've been back four times.
Oh, Bob.
And I haven't gone to Golden Turtle once.
How does Sandra feel about this?
I stopped calling.
How does Sandra feel about this? This is a kernel of infidelity inside of you, Bob.
You know, she never developed the Golden Turtle love the way that I did. So for her, I don't think she doesn't have a horse in the race. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. I see. I knew you would understand.
Yeah, of course.
Like you always eat at a place called Mangia e Bevi, right?
Yep.
What if next door there was another Italian wine bar that was a little bit better? Would you go there? Better and cheaper.
I wouldn't. Now, if, because I don't want to think like I've got the moral high ground here. If the other place had a better wine by the glass program and they changed it all the time, then that could be some, that could be the siren song that lures me over.
Funny you say siren song, because I got to drop Charlotte off at her acting classes today, which gives me 3 hours to wait for her while she's doing her thing.
Yep.
I just can't stop thinking about going and getting a bowl of that soup.
Bob, I have this image of you in there eating the soup, and then the old owners of Golden Turtle come by, and you're like, no, it's not what you think.
What's the Seinfeld episode with the barber?
Yeah, exactly.
How much time do we have left, Maddie?
We have 6 minutes and 30 seconds left.
All right. Do you mind if I take this in a completely non-sportsy direction? Not that we were in one.
Like, I'm going to say no to that.
All right. So you know that my phone was ripped off last week.
Yes.
And we talked about doing the top five heist movies. We never did it. We can do it at the end of this conversation, but I have a question here for you. So I'm getting a new phone today, and then I got to go into Rogers and get set back up. Yeah, looking forward to it. But I said to Sandra, I was in the car with her the other day, and I said, what if I took this opportunity to wipe the slate clean and just start a new identity? Get a new phone number.
Ooh.
And it started to really hit me. I thought, you know, I could start a Gmail account, which I don't have, and a new number. And basically, it would be like being a completely new person. My 600 subscriptions to various newsletters, I wouldn't get them. Only my favorite people could call me. Like, I'd give you the number, Landsberg, you know, Georgie, Jeffy, you know, maybe like a dozen people. 15 people. And then let's just see where it goes. It's like I'm ripping it down to the struts. It's like I'm going all the way down. We're doing an overhaul. Could the phone number be my chance at a whole new life?
Of course it can. I love this idea and this concept. The only problem is, even if you get a new phone number, you're still not going to set up your goddamn answering machine. You're still not going to call anyone back. You and Landsberg are the two worst when it comes to follow-up.
He still owes you a call back from like 6 years ago.
Oh my God. Yeah. From August. No, earlier than that, like June.
I started to think about how our devices essentially become the anchors of our personality, and that you can make whatever changes you want into your daily routine. But if you don't change your phone, it doesn't matter because your past is with you everywhere.
Yep.
But with a brand new phone number, nobody from my past, unless I wanted them to, could reach me, including all the information. I have 70,000 emails in my email account right now, Matt. 70,000.
I'm filled with dread thinking about that. You know what I spent part of my evening doing while drinking a delicious Ontario Cab Franc? I went through my Hotmail, and I've got like maybe 23 messages there, and they've all been answered in red. Ah. I have no unread messages. I did a nice purge last night. Felt great.
Well, this is, you know, because you and I are different. You can do this on the daily because that's what you're like. You come up with a plan. It's a good plan. I'll do it. And then you do. Mm-hmm. I'm different, Matt.
I know.
I need it to be all or nothing. I'm a Scorpio. Mm-hmm. I think like this. So for me to accomplish that beautiful feeling of the empty inbox, I just have to become a new person. I've got to nuke it. I got to bring it all the way back. I'm not changing my name. I might answer to Frank. My middle name's Francis. We'll see.
You know what? For anyone under 25, getting a new phone number and email, it's basically like changing your name and your entire identity.
Nope. I'll make the calls I need to, you know, to update various things. But also, it's a chance to change all my purchasing stuff because they're all going to be like, oh, we can no longer reach you. And now I'm going to be faced with the decision. Do you make the cut? Do you make the cut, Netflix? I'll make that decision. Like, this is going to force me to reevaluate everything because my entire life is tied into that stupid 10 digits.
Yep. Oh my God, you could change your entire identity if you wanted to. This is exciting. To me, if I were to get a new phone and go hang out with people at Bell or Rogers or a Smart Bar or a Computer Genius Bar or an Apple Store, I'm filled with dread and anger, like literal anger. But Matt, for you, it's an opportunity.
647 doesn't drive. But yep. What if 647 does?
It's a whole new world, Bob, coming for you. We got 2 minutes left. I'm going to throw out one. You tell me where this ranks for heist movies. Are you okay. ready?
Yep.
A Fish Called Wanda.
Oh, that was in my also mentions.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let me find them. I'll do quickly my top ones here. Number five, The Killing by Stanley Kubrick. Yep. Number four, Reservoir Dogs, which is a post-heist movie, but it's still kind of a heist movie. Inception. My top one was Ocean's 11, and you can kind of make it an amalgam of the old one and the new one. And then number two, Die Hard. Do you ever think of Die Hard as a heist movie?
I don't, but now I do. We have 90 seconds left. That's brilliant. Yes, that's totally a heist movie.
I never thought of it that way. I was so grateful we decided to do this topic because I went online to see if I'd missed anything, you know, top heist movies, and I see Die Hard there. I'm like, wait a minute. You're right. And you know who told us it was one? Hans Gruber. He told us the way to see the movie and we weren't paying attention. He told us, I am an exceptional thief.
Bob, that's an exceptional choice. I would throw in The Usual Suspects. But then, Bob,
good one.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world the Macko and Cause podcast was still here. And like that...
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.